Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, May 7th, 2022. Today on The Ether, R&B Crypto presents Tea Time with Luna Miners. Let's take a listen.
True grades like launch. And I also think it started when Astroport, I think it was like when Retrograde released their new model. And they had announced that they were going to be like accumulating Astro. And so then everyone was just like, well, what the hell does this mean? And so we had like an entire Saturday morning where we just like basically brought in the like a whole bunch of chads, and we just had everyone hash out what the liquidity wars on like Ethereum are and what they are in Terra. In Terra, it's different because like in Terra, we don't have like the stablecoin or pools. We don't have any of those like stablecoins in there. But it's just kind of interesting to see how this is all unfolding. But meanwhile, we have like a bustling NFT scene just developing in front of us.
Bustling and full of drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like that's cool. I mean, I had a good conversation with Gravidao this week, and they were talking all about he had a good opinion on where that's going and why it's actually might end up being like more of a positive than a negative, despite some of the short term pain from it. So, but yeah, it's like Terra NFTs just. I mean, the fact that they are relatively unknown, I guess, is what it's in like the larger scheme of crypto. I think it's definitely a potential just to absolutely skyrocket. And that might be a good bridge into our AMA today.
Totally.
I loved what like the tweet that Seffy had. Seffy said that Terra NFTs are going to bring and onboard like the next million users to Terra, and I fundamentally believe that, and I fundamentally agree with him. It's like the power of combining UST, a decentralized currency, with NFTs and kind of creating decentralized measures and within it is going to be like just it's going to create an environment of new startups, new ideas, and new systems entirely. It's just so exciting to see. I'm glad that we have Luna Miners here. I'm glad that Department 77's out there, LunaFest. We've got some incredible people out there listening right now. So, but yeah, let's go ahead and get going with the AMA. This is your guys' guest. I have no idea who they are. So great to meet you guys. Great to bring on Luna Miners.
Yeah, thanks for having us here. So basically what we're doing is we're trying to build an NFT DAO, basically. You get in the DAO, obviously, by holding one of our NFTs. And we're going to mine cryptocurrency. A little bit about me. I've been mining for a couple, probably like 2 years now. Actually, Lunatic Station and S Monster J brought me into the Terra ecosystem. I won one of their giveaways maybe about a year ago, I think it is now. And yeah, that's what brought me to the Terra ecosystem. And I got involved with the community. This is the best crypto community I've ever been a part of. All you guys are amazing. Never seen such a helpful, giving bunch of people. So yeah. And yeah, you guys have any questions for me?
Yeah, super happy to have you here. Very, very, very happy. Very thankful that you decided to slide in. Can you kind of give a descriptive of like how you see like the art portion of your NFTs gonna look? Oh, whoa, hold on, just clicked on your profile as well. This looks crazy. Are they all gonna look like this, like the header?
Like are they all gonna look like what?
Like your header looks?
Oh no, so that's actually a render I did from PS Labs. We have an artist, We just did a post actually the other day. If you scroll down a little bit on our page, her name's Va Movie. She's actually the first artist being brought into the Creators Club for Loon Art. Yeah, so our we're actually going to be dropping our art hopefully this weekend, and we'll do the sneak peeks in our Discord. The link for our Discord is on our website. The link for our website is on our Twitter page.
Awesome. I'm curious. So I look forward to seeing the artwork and seeing how that all comes out. But thinking of Luna miners and thinking of creating like a mining DAO on Terra, I guess like give us the idea of what holding one of these NFTs, what kind of utility will occur from this? Is there going to be some sort of revenue pool that is split out upon NFT holders? What kind of role do they play? And then I guess we can get into more of like the infrastructure questions of actual mining and what blockchains you'll be using in terms of like proof of work options out there. But yeah, if you just mind going into some of the plans that you have with just NFT utility in general for those who are holding a Lunar Miner NFT.
Yeah, of course. So we're going to be using our NFT sales to buy a bunch of miners. And yeah, if you hold one of our NFTs, we're going to be holding a vote every month. We're actually using GrabbyDAO too. I've talked to ILO a lot. He's an awesome guy. Love what he's building over there. And yeah, you'll be able to come into our Discord and you can vote on what actually gets done with the profits from mining. And you can vote to have them paid out to the holders. You can vote to buy more miners. And if the community chooses to buy more miners, we'll actually let them decide which miners we should buy and get into. And yeah, so we're actually doing two NFT sales. We're gonna have like an early we're gonna call one the miners card, and that's just basically for our early supporters. This one won't be a yield bearing NFT. This one is more for votes, and this will be, you'll get special any airdrops we do from collaborations or stuff we get from mining will be airdropped to the early supporters.
That's super dope. I love that kind of aspect of your NFT, because that brings like real utility in like a world where, you know, like a lot of times NFT projects are just, you know, more so specifically profile picture based. I think that's amazing that you're going to use the profits to buy miners and then have an entire DAO that kind of governs where all that money goes.
Yeah. So the cool thing is, you know, over the course of time, you know, the profits have the potential to always go up. You know, every month we could potentially increase next month's profits depending on what the DAO chooses to do. So, you know, it could, you know, it's a never ending, way to increase profits for our treasury and our holders. I think it'll be cool. It's a new way to bring liquidity into Terra, you know. I don't think it's being used too much right now.
Yeah, like mining for sure is like a kind of a different thing. I haven't even heard of the conceptual of like creating a DAO to fund like a mining operation. What kind of currencies are you guys going to just start mining? Like, do you guys just want to primarily focus on Bitcoin, et cetera, or is there other kind of mining initiatives?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of coins that mine. Actually, we've been looking into Bitcoin just because, you know, I love Bitcoin. Who doesn't? But the thing that we're going to be focusing on mainly when we first start, we're going to be mining KDA. And I thought KDA was a good choice because I know a lot of lunatics out there, they invested in KDA, they like it, and it's actually a lot more profitable and you get quicker ROIs on your money when you mine KDA. So yeah, that's what we're going to focus on at first to get everything, you know, moving and pump as much profits into the DAO as possible. And then, you know, with our profits and stuff, the holders are going to decide, you know, if they vote for more miners, then the DAO will vote which coins we get into, whether it be Bitcoin, KDA, you know, Flux. I'm actually thinking about setting up a little degen station in our facility for, you know, our facility is going to focus mostly on ASIC miners, but there's all types of miners out there. There's helium miners and all these other coins that, you know, I haven't even heard of yet. But we have one of our researchers, actually, he doesn't do ASIC mining at all. He does all these, you know, helium miners and things like that. So I think those will be a good small cap, you know, type of mining to hold. Helium did quite well this year. They, you know, their price was jumped up pretty good if you got in early enough. So
just thinking from, maybe I get a little bit ahead here, but thinking logistically, as I mean, it's a business model that you have here, and you're essentially running like it's a DAO, but just thinking in like the context of like, you're going to have to pay, you know, like taxes on that. Like, will you have to register this as a full on business in your state of operation? And I guess, there's going to be a lot of just very odd processes in that mix. And I'm curious how you're going to potentially handle that, like legal issues or accounting issues and all of that nature.
Yeah. So of course. Yeah. So we're actually looking to set this up as a legal business in our state. We're filing for an LLC at the moment. I have a state advisor who has been in the business for 25 years advising, helping businesses get started. And we're actually her first crypto company that she has ever helped, you know, become a business. So far, she says that everything we're doing is, you know, legal, good. The only thing we have to worry about is future, you know, regulations and stuff. So what we've decided to do, I have a family, I'm a father, I have a wife and everything. So I've talked to my family and we're ready to, you know, if regulations get worse in the future, we're ready to move pretty much anywhere to, you know, continue this and make sure it works in the future. We're actually looking into places right now that have 1/10 of the electricity kilowatt per hour, which is how much they charge, you know, because electricity, besides miners, is obviously going to be our biggest overhead. So we're looking into places that have cheaper electricity and stuff like that, not only in case regulations come, but in case we ever need to expand and get new facilities, you know, we have options.
I wanted to dig into a little bit deeper into the operations of stuff. So before I actually like started in crypto full time, I was actually working for a solar company. And I've always been interested in the intersections between green energy and mining operations. Do you guys have any desires to go in a more sustainable direction when it comes to the kilowatt consumption?
Oh yeah, of course. So that's actually the second biggest part of what we're doing. We actually want to prove to the world and, you know, the Terra community, everybody, that crypto mining doesn't have to be bad for the environment. We're going to be using 10% of our NFT sales to actually invest in solar panels. And that's going to be our first investment in green technology. So, and then there's so many cool ways that you can use miners to actually, you know, do cool things. Like, I've seen people who use their miners to heat greenhouses in the winter. And I've seen other things where another facility, actually, they used their heat from their miners, went into a greenhouse. It was like a hydro plant, actually, hydro greenhouse. And they actually had fish and stuff living underneath the plants that they were growing from the heat with the miners, you know, in the colder months. So there's a whole bunch of cool things. I've seen facilities that use natural gas to power their mining facilities. So we're looking into pretty much all options to lower the, you know, the electricity consumption that we're using.
And just for anybody out there, if you got a question for Luna Miners, feel free to go ahead and request to speak and we can get you on up here. But Luna Miners, I wanted to say, because I don't know really like anything about like mining What's like the process to actually get everything up and running?
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of software out there that you can use and to hook it up. So basically what mining is, what the mining we're doing is we're processing transactions for Bitcoin, KDA, and stuff. So, you know, when you use Bitcoin for a transaction or something, we're processing that. And in return, we get paid in Bitcoin, you know, how they have the halving every 4 years, all that distributed Bitcoin goes to miners. And so basically what you do is, you know, I started off with GPU mining, actually, which is where you can use your computer if you have a powerful enough graphics card. Anybody can do this at home if you have a computer. And if you have the hardware powerful enough to do it. Different graphics cards, you know, obviously have different, you know, hash power, they call it, which determines your profitability. The more hash power you have, the more profit you can make. So that's where I started out mining. And now I'm using the Luna Miners NFT sale to get more into ASIC mining, which is basically computers. They're basically hardware built just for one purpose. Like if you buy a Bitcoin miner, for example, that hardware can only mine Bitcoins. You know, the KDA miners that we're going to be investing into, they can only mine KDA. So basically, once you get these miners, you hook up to a pool. There's pools online. And they combine all your hash power in the pool so you can get bigger rewards. And that's pretty much the rundown of it. It's actually a pretty simple process, even hooking up the miners. You know, when you get these miners, they're pretty much just a power supply cord and Ethernet cable to hook up to the internet. And you go online to their website, and they have a search bar where you can look for your miner. And then it's all step by step after that. You just hook up to the pool and let it run.
Kind of piggybacking off of previous question there, I'm curious to learn a little bit about the initial process or setup that you're going to go conduct after you do the initial mint. So, you say you have a solid mint and you raise, you know, close to what your desired amount is. What kind of products will you be initially purchasing, or is that going to be a DAO vote? And then where will the facility be? Like, do you already have the facility planned out where you're going to be storing all this equipment at first? And do you have that early roadmap already drawn out, I guess?
All right. Yeah. So we have our roadmap is in our Discord, basically. And yes, we have a facility already. It's it's a pretty decent sized building, and it's big enough where we can fit enough miners to get us started for at least, I'm assuming, the first 2 years, depending on what the community votes on whether they want miners or profits to fit. I'm figuring at least we can fit probably at least 100 different miners in the facility we have now. And then after that, we would need to expand. I think to answer your first question, so the first after the NFT sale we're, like I said before, we're going to be investing in KDA miners. The miners that we're going to be buying is called a KD6. And you can actually look up the profits of these miners. They have calculators online. You know, you just go into Google and type in, KD6 profits. And they got these cool calculators that show you your energy consumption, your estimated energy bills based on where you live and what the kilowatts per hour are there. And then, after that.
Hey, I think there's something going on with your mic. I don't know if is that just on my end.
No, that's happening. I thought it was on my end too.
Oh, you guys, what's going on?
It sounds like you're in like an echo room.
Huh. Let me change rooms. See if that does anything. Hold on.
Meanwhile, thank you everyone so much for joining. This is kind of a new venture where the Terabytes team has gotten together with a group of content creators on the Terra Money team. We've got Brevi over here, and we've also got the Lunatic Station. Excited to kind of explore these this kind of Saturday morning partnerships. This week, Pete and Evan won't be joining us. Pete and Evan are doing some sort of business stuff behind the scenes, so they've got the intern at the helm of the Terabytes Bot account. But wanted to thank you guys so much. This is we're kind of doing an interview with a lesser known Luna miner DAO, primarily focused on using a DAO structure to kind of basically business model what it would be to have a like on-chain company dedicated to mining various cryptocurrencies. And it's kind of interesting to kind of just see how these like smaller groups with these smaller business models are starting to like crop up throughout the ecosystem. It's exciting to see this and exciting to kind of see the future for how many people want to like part own an actual mining company. Because like, I mean, you can just basically virtually buy a stake into the Luna miners by holding their NFT.
Yeah, it's really correct. Is this any better, guys?
A little bit, but not a lot of bit.
We're trying not to be rude.
Yeah, we'll just let it ride, you know.
It could just be an audio glitch. I mean, you might want to. You could just leave, and we'll bring you back up. We promise we'll like fill the radio waves with like a jazz duo here.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let me try that.
What kind of tea are you drinking this morning, Brevi? You got any tea with you? It's tea time.
I do not have any tea, but I do have tea around me. And if I were to be drinking tea right now, it would be chai tea with a little almond milk.
Man. Joseph, you got any tea?
Actually, no. I have like the exact reverse, dude. I have some coffee. I have some black coffee right now with me. I'm sorry.
It's coffee time.
It's coffee time on my side. I didn't get the tea time memo until this morning, so.
It's okay.
What you got, Rick?
I got some green tea with me. It's tea time. It's in the name.
You put honey in your tea, or you put sugar in it?
I put honey in there.
Ah, smart man. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. I've never tried honey with tea. That's actually
really.
Yeah, no. Now I'm actually gonna make like some tea now. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a good combo. I mean, if tea's not your thing, you probably won't like it. But tea is your thing. It's a nice little sweetener.
If it's not your thing, just put a shit ton of honey in it.
You know what, just take out the tea and just do the honey. Okay.
Just drink straight honey.
Steven, I think he's back on in here. If you want to hopefully the audio glitch has cleared up.
Yeah, I hope so. Is this any better or no?
Way better.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
All right. I want to kick off a question. I don't know where we were at. To be honest, completely forgot. But I wanted to ask you, how does the ownership staking system work? How does a user like generally have a percent ownership into the profits of the company? I guess I just want to have a little bit more of an understanding how the economic side works for owning a little bit of a stake in the Luna Miners DAO.
Yeah, so basically the way we're setting it up is so the DAO will own actually all the miners that we buy with their monthly votes. So if you hold a Luna Miners card, you will have an equal vote in what actually we do with those miners. Like, let's say 5 years from now, the DAO wants to get in something else, another form of passive income. They could choose to sell their miners, and you know, we could use the profits from that to do something else. You know, there's basically, if you own a Luna Miners car, you own one 5,000th of the company, because our NFTs are going to be we're doing a 5,000 collection for the Luna Miners, and then our early supporters, we're doing 1,000 NFTs for them.
Is there weighted ownership in that? Because I think you said there's 5,000 NFTs total, and then 1,000 for the early adopters. So will they have a larger ownership stake, I guess?
Yeah. So the early adopters, each one of the early adopters cards are going to be good for 2 votes actually in the DAO. So yeah, they will have a higher weighting of votes, but they'll have less NFTs.
Okay. Interesting. I also just want to ask you about the profitability, because you said you can calculate that out. And so say you have 100 Kadena miners. What would that month-on-month profit look like?
Oh, boy. 100 KDA miners. So basically, I haven't checked the profitability actually since, you know, this nasty crash. So, but last time I checked, I believe the KD6 miners were producing close to $100 a day. So I guess you would just, you know, basically times 100, which is 10,000. So 10,000 times 30 is we could be producing $300,000 a month that we would be pumping into the Taro ecosystem with 100 miners pretty much every month.
And you'll be able to purchase these 100 if the entire project sells out?
No. So we won't be able to purchase 100 right off the beginning. We're looking to purchase, it's going to be probably around 12 to 15 miners with our NFT sale, maybe closer to 15. But this depends on the price of miners actually go up and down with the price of crypto. So it depends where the price of crypto is when we do our NFT sale. Basically, we'll determine how many miners we get. And obviously the profitability of the miners goes up and down with the price of the coins. So, you know, when Bitcoin was at 60,000, I was making a lot more mining than I am now. But, you know, hopefully in the future, when these coins go higher into the next bull run, we'll also be making a lot more than we are.
So what do you guys do with the assets that you guys have mined? Do you guys have like a planned structure for how those funds would be managed? I'm assuming you guys are going to kind of like set aside like on a monthly rate, like you guys are going to take out X amount of percentage of your treasury for disbursements to staff and stuff like that.
Yeah. So basically what we're going to do is all of our mining profits will be sent to a multi, you know, chain wallet. We're thinking about using what's it called? Oh man, I'm drawing a brain fart right now.
I think it's the White Whale team who has made multi-sig wallets exist on the Terra chain.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh yeah. So we'll be using a multi-chain wallet like XDeFi. All the mining profits will be sent there, where it'll be converted to Luna or UST, depending on you know, the market and what's going on. And that will all be sent to a Terra Station wallet where we can set up a multi-sig. And the treasury is going to take around 10% of the mining profits, and that will go to funding, you know, the salaries of the team, expanding, you know, future collaborations, airdrops for our early supporters, you know, just basically ensuring that we have a treasury to always, you know, expand and do things in the future, no matter what the DAO votes to do with the profits. You know, just in case, you know, the DAO votes, let's say the DAO votes that they don't want to invest in any more miners. They just want profits every month. So this way our treasury, if they vote to take their 90% of the profits, the treasury will always be growing as well.
I wasn't fully sure the price of what a miner was, and then I looked it up. So the KD6 miner, these initial units will cost anywhere from 40,000 to 50,000 US dollars. That's right, correct?
Yes, that is 100% correct. They get pretty expensive, and the KD6 miner is actually one of the most expensive miners on the market right now. But it's for good reason. The ROI in these things, you know, is pretty good. You know, so
yeah, $100 a day, dude. That's insane. Like, per miner,
They have the real time profitability on this website, on this ASIC mining website. Yeah. So
what's the profit at now after you know the market pretty much took a dump?
Yeah, well, right now it's the profit including electricity. So basically deduct what the cost of electricity would be on average. I don't know where they're getting this number from or how they're maybe it's based on my local area. But so for per day it's $58. Per month it's about $1,800, and then per year it's $2,100, which is wild to me. I mean, I had no idea how much money you could make from one of these things.
They cost so much though. And the cool thing is, you know, with mining, you're always, you know, you're getting paid in an appreciating asset. You know, obviously, if you're spending $50,000 on a miner, you've got to have a lot of faith that this asset is going to appreciate over time. And, you know, the cool thing is, even in this market dump, I've been stacking Bitcoins pretty much passively this whole time. You know, every day, I no matter what happens, we get a little more Bitcoin, a little more Ethereum. You know, our bags are always going to grow. So it's a cool way to, like, you almost DCA daily into, you know, crypto.
I'm also just curious, why Kadena? I know a little bit about it. I know it's a layer one, and I know it uses, you know, proof of work, and it's very efficient at that. From what I've read, but what is the big draw to it outside of that? I don't really understand the culture behind it. Could you just give an overview, I guess, for everyone here who might not necessarily be as versed about the utility behind the Kadena blockchain?
Yeah, so the Kadena blockchain is setting up their own little ecosystem. So they're pretty new, but they're doing things like NFTs right now, and, you know, other stuff like that. I think they actually just started a grant program too to put more projects and protocols on their ecosystem. Their community is really awesome. You know, they're pretty passionate about KDA. They're pretty much trying to be, you know, their own ecosystem. And basically, why we chose them is, pretty much the profitability of these miners is pretty insane right now in the mining world. So that's, you know, if you go down that list, you know, the top five, you know, top three or four most profitable miners are close to $100 a day. But after that, you know, it starts to take a big leap down to, you know, 70, 60, and quickly goes down after that. So it's pretty much, we have faith in you know, the KDA ecosystem. We think they're going to be doing some big things. Obviously, their coin has a lot of room to run in the future. You know, we all saw what it did. Well, I guess most of us saw what it did this bull run. It was pretty insane. So yeah, it's basically that's the most profitable miners that are on the market right now is pretty much the main reason.
So how do you see the long-term mining market kind of performing? Is there kind of just a horizon where Bitcoin mining isn't going to be profitable and you guys will have to start going through these smaller cap tokens?
So, I mean, the difficulty of mining goes up every 4 years, which the rewards are basically cut in half for Bitcoin mining. I'm not sure what the difficulty is for KDA, but I know Bitcoin is every 4 years. And so the profits go down, but basically it's, you know, our technology and how good we're and how fast we're creating faster computers also determines a lot of your profitability. Like, let's say, you know, our technology is getting better faster than the rate that Bitcoin is decreasing their rewards, you know, so it always has potential to go up. Like they release new miners, you know, multiple times a year. And, you know, there's miners that if you bought, you know, five, six, you know, years ago, that they're not profitable anymore. You're pretty much spending more in electricity to run them than you are making. So yeah, you have to update your miners and, you know, get new miners every couple of years to stay making the profits that were that, you know, the miners are making now.
What are like the upgrades as far as like what's making them become more profitable due or less profitable due to the upgrades?
You know, it's basically the chip manufacturing, you know, like a lot of people tried to blame the chip shortage this year and the graphics card shortage on, you know, on miners and stuff. So like the graphics card mining, you know, it's basically how fast, you know, their processing power, you know, how fast these computers can process transactions. So the faster our computers get, pretty much is, you know, determines how much we can mine.
Quantum computers are going to make this like really, really crazy if that gets like implemented with the miners.
Yeah, yeah. That I'm sure that would be insane when and if they roll it out. I heard quantum computers are going to cost like so much money though that, you know, pretty much not many of us, if anybody, can really afford them when they, you know, for quite a while after, you know, the technology is released. I'm not sure though.
You also need a sub-zero, like a giant sub-zero freezer to run them, and I don't know if anyone here has that in their basement, but if you do, I'm gonna be a little question, I'm gonna question that decision as to why. But looks like we have a request from Department 77, and if I can, here we go,
let's go. Shout out to Department 77, incredible game.
But Department 77, if you have a question, please feel free to ask it.
Yeah, I was just...
The mic is yours.
I was just wondering, from an investment or holder perspective, how will the actual ROI work? Will the profit be paid out to the holders on a regular interval, or is there like a kind of treasury building up over time?
Yeah, so the profits paid out to holders, there will be monthly, but that will also be determined by the DAO itself. So the DAO will determine, you know, as a community, what we want with to do with the profits. So yeah, the community could vote every month to, you know, to pay out our holders. So, or they could vote, you know, for a 50-50 split. Maybe they want to do, you know, half the profits go to the holders, half the profits go to new miners, etc. But so that'll pretty much determine your ROI on, you know, buying our NFTs. And obviously, as you know, as our profitability goes up, assuming our DAO votes to buy more miners, which I think they will, you know, the floor price of your NFTs should go up as well, or so we're hoping.
So like a huge reason I really, really love this project, and I'm very, very glad that we had you on today, is you guys are breaking down like a barrier of entry, right? Like, so the average person spending 50K on a miner is not really feasible. So like you're putting them in a situation where they can actually benefit from this profit and also govern how the profit is used without having to shell out that large amount of capital. So I just wanted to say like that's just super dope.
Yeah, so we actually, well, we wanted to start out with 10,000 NFTs, and that was the idea. And basically, through doing, you know, tons of spreadsheets, I came up with 5,000 would be a decent number that, you know, you could pretty much get almost the same ROI, you know, depending on how the DAO votes for things, you know, as you would spending the 50,000 just on a smaller scale, you know. So the ROI is pretty much the same as if you would have bought the $50,000 miner, but you know, you're only going to be spending, you know, $100, $200. We're looking to do a $200 NFT mint.
Exactly. And I think that's like super duper huge, you know, just lowering that barrier of entry, because yeah, like it's the difference between me having to spend 50K and $100, even though the ROI is still the same. You're talking about getting 10 to 12 of the miners, you know, that's like a 500K investment in capital. And, you know, just a lot of folks don't have that. And, you know, but, you know, you're creating a situation where they can still actually, benefit from the specific mining. Because as soon as you start talking about it, dude, I was like, yo, like, $100 a day, $70 a day, like That's absolutely incredible. Like, I never thought it was that much profit from mining.
Yeah, so you can only imagine, you know, like as you grow, and if, like, let's say you did compound your, you know, your rewards into more miners, you know, that can grow pretty quickly as well.
Exactly. And you're going to have, like, you know, the whole DAO is going to be able to vote on what they can do with the profits. Are they going to be able to say, like, oh, we would like to invest in this NFT project, a portion of the profits, or can they only specifically vote on miners?
So, yeah, right now we're looking into, you know, setting up a system almost where, you know, people, our holders, could write proposals to do stuff like that, you know, collab with other projects, you know, maybe, you know, spend some of the profits on, you know, something else besides mining. Maybe we just want to stake a whole bunch of a Luna and, you know, use the staking rewards too as another way to provide passive income for the DAO. Yeah, so the holders will be able to write proposals and stuff like that, and then obviously the proposals would have to be voted on by the community. And we're going to be looking to put in, you know, a threshold, so, you know, obviously a certain amount of votes have to agree on your proposals to, you know, go ahead with them.
Also, we got a man, Syak. We're actually going to go, did Syak pop up first?
I think it was Syak. Syak was first, and then Bro Seth will go after that.
Cool. Let's go, Syak. You got the floor, my friend.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm driving, so if I get dropped, sorry. But probably have a few questions that I think probably should get just from an investor on the outside or something looking in, right? Thought about the fact that, you know, you'll be opening yourselves up to the chance of being a security by offering,
a little bit, Syak, if you can just repeat the question, my bad.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, sorry, I was driving by the casinos. So if, you know, when you're offering or you're promising, you know, people an investment opportunity, right, and you're promising, you know, a return on funds, obviously you're opening yourselves up as a security, right? Because, you know, essentially that's what it is at the rawest form. You know, and I know a lot of these NFT projects, they kind of make sure the wording and what they say, you know, is in line and not misleading, right? So have you thought about that? The fact that you'd essentially be declaring yourself as offering a security? That's probably one of my first questions. Or because what happened is, you know, right, if somebody, you know, just when you do that, all it takes is one person to come in, right, and just be like, you know what, I don't like the way this is running and I don't think I'm getting a good return. And they just, you know, open you up for a lawsuit.
Yeah, totally. So like I said earlier, we have an advisor who works for the state business board, you know, the state, and she's pretty much instructing us on, you know, the way to go about things. And basically what we're doing, since we're offering it, from what she's telling me right now, since we're offering it to everybody, you know, at a fair, you know, fairly, that we're okay. And we're technically, you know, I tried not to use words like you said. You know, there is the risk that, you know, the DAO could vote to just invest in more miners and decide that helping decentralize the, you know, these blockchains is more important than getting paid out profits. So there's no guarantee that you will, you know, that you will get paid out every month, or you're gonna you know, that these are going to return. There is always that slight, you know, tiny little chance that the DAO will vote to, you know, just invest in more miners. So I'm trying very hard not to promise any ROIs. Just any numbers I come out with and say is all just based on spreadsheets that I've done, obviously, to see, you know, the potential of the project and think and what is possible for the project to do.
Yeah, so, you almost maybe want to go about it from like a, here's what our goal is and here's what we're trying to do, and then, you know, hopefully we'll achieve these goals. And really, and it's just like you're buying an NFT rather than, hey, buy any sure, and this is what your return will be. And then, you know, it's almost like, because you go from that, now you're just a seed round looking for any investment, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, like I said, all it takes is one little janky person from California, probably, who's upset and just wants to sue you, because people can sue for anything these days. And I actually really like the idea, though.
That's also part.
Sticky.
Yeah, so that, you know, obviously that exact situation has pretty much come up. You know, my advisor brought that up, and that's, you know, we're the LLC that we're forming will help protect us from anybody being sued. And obviously we'll be hiring a legal attorney to, you know, make sure that all this stuff is taken care of, and, you know, that we have someone defending us and trying to, you know, prove that we're going about everything in the right way. You know, we're going to be paying taxes, all that stuff. And like I said earlier, this, like, mining and Luna is my passion. This community is amazing. I love the potential of Luna. I love the potential of mining. It's something I like doing. I love talking to all you guys on Twitter. I love what the, you know, what Terra is trying to do for the average guy. So, you know.
Yeah, that's great. I do really like it. I know, like, Steph and a bunch of us just kind of tell NFT projects before they're releasing, just, yeah, to be careful with the wording. But it sounds like you've got it all worked out.
We're definitely trying. Like I said, if anything
happens. Are you guys kind of doxing yourselves?
Oh, yeah. Yes, 100%. So I obviously know that, you know, doxing and is very important to the community. Like, people want to know that they're not just going to give their money to some random guy. So, yeah, I will be doxxed. My team will be doxxed.
I imagine you almost want to be able to visit the facility too, like to go see where your miners, like, just you can have like a little shop in the front, kind of like a themed shop with the NFTs almost, and, you know, make a tour, learn about mining too. You can almost hold tours. Sorry, I just thought of that right now, but.
Yeah, so that would be cool and all, but a lot of facilities actually don't let the public come into their facilities just because of security risk. Like, you know, you got to think they're housing, you know, some of these facilities are housing millions of dollars of equipment, and you know, they actually, a lot of them keep where they are secret. But that's a totally sweet idea, you know, if we could work out something like that,
or just for the holders at the very least.
So yeah. So that would be totally something that we could do, is, you know, our holders, people who believe in the project, you know, want to see it grow and something like that. Yeah, we could totally do something like that for the holders.
Gotcha. Yeah. And whenever you're ready for the slower thing, I can help you guys out with that too. Whenever
we're ready for what? Excuse me?
For the solar, for the panels and stuff for the facility.
Oh, really? So what do you do with solar?
The regional sales director over here.
Oh,
yeah, wow. I can get you pretty much wholesale. So, but that's down the road. But.
Who do you work for, if you don't mind me asking? Are you a First Solar guy, or do you work for like a racking manufacturer?
Both. So I have a 1099 that is like my sales side. And then I work for Freedom Forever, the company name.
Okay. I was with a small little solar startup in the south of the United States, and we were only doing projects in like Arkansas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma. So we probably bought some gear from you guys if you guys had any like Omco for solar or Talison modules or something.
Yeah, it's a small world, really. But yeah, if you know, down the line, that I can help you with that too. And that's, I've done a few places where they have mining set up and stuff, so I've done it before. My other question too was, do you guys have plans to do like second releases or anything like that for like almost like a second, you know, round of investments? Like after the first one, like let's say it's successful and you're like, hey, we want to get another 20 miners or whatever, right? And you just, you know, you do a second release, I guess. Is that, I'm assuming that would be something down the line, or do you just plan to only generate funds from the first investment and just kind of make it work from there?
Yeah, so my plan was to pretty much give the control to the community, you know, like if we would do a second sale, that would have to be up to our holders, you know, like I wouldn't want to flood the market with more NFTs if that's not something our holders would want to do, you know. That's totally going to be up to the DAO. But yeah, I plan on using some of the treasury money to, you know, look into new projects and other stuff like that. So we're trying to do more passive NFTs. This is just going to be our first one. But yeah, if the that'll totally be up to the DAO.
Yeah, there was something similar to this on the Ethereum network. I forget what it was called. But they, yeah, you would buy
the Blockchain Miners Club. Yes. I think you're thinking.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, and you know, I'm not too knowledgeable in miners, so but I know it was relatively successful in the beginning. I don't know how it's still doing now, but what I saw, you could actually combine like lower tier miners. You can combine them almost to make them to evolve into like a tier two, and you'd make more passive income and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we actually plan on doing something like that a little bit further down the line, after, you know, we obviously get some more funding and stuff. So, you know, I still work a full-time job every day. And then, you know, I pretty much do the Luna Miners thing, you know, in all my free time right now. So, yeah.
I had some questions still that Slyak sort of touched on, with like, you know, the concerns on like, you know, is this a securities offering, etc. And I appreciate you, you know, answering that. Now I come from, you know, in my past, a small town where there was a Bitcoin mining operation that was able to gather some significant investment, you know, in the range of, you know, $25,000 investments from multiple, you know, investors in the community. And that project absolutely got the attention, whether they were following state law or not. They gained the attention of the SEC because large whales joined the project at some phase from out of town. And so I'm wondering, you mentioned an LLC at some point. I'm wondering what kind of risks that LLC, like, I know that should help us, the project that in general, like be able to have legal assistance. But is that LLC, is there, you know, what kind of obligations might they have? Like, did that LLC invest in the initial phase? Is that LLC invested into your sort of facilities currently? And then on top of that, is there any additional potential for us to use, or this type of project to use, a decentralized insurance protocol like Ozone to make the project more substantial in the long run?
Yeah, so we're actually trying to keep as much of our money and project infrastructure in the Terra ecosystem. So I'd have to look into Ozone a little bit more, but I'm pretty sure we could do something like that. Like, obviously we want to be insured, just for the reason, you know, we have a lot of equipment in our facility, so we want to make sure it's insured. These miners produce a lot of heat, and you know, so if anything were ever to happen to them, we want to make sure we're insured. And could you repeat the first part of that question? What was your first part?
Just like what's the potential for, like, for example, if large whales sort of came into this project and brought huge levels of investment beyond your ability and wiped out all the, you know, people who want to make $70 or $100 a month, maybe, right, on this NFT holder. What if large whales come in and sort of buy this out because they see the potential of your miners and they want to sort of wipe the small guy out? That's going to, if that were to happen, it's going to draw the attention of the SEC. So I'm wondering, I guess, is there enough of an offering to make sure that whales aren't going to dominate this launch?
Yeah, so I'm totally hoping that the whales don't. Obviously, we want to sell out, so we more people that buy it, the better. But yeah, like we were talking about before, we pretty much want to use this as an opportunity to, you know, get the little guys, people who don't have $50,000 to invest in a miner, to be able to mine. And like we're working pretty closely with our state, you know, to make sure that we're up to, you know, we're abiding by all the laws, we're legal with the current regulations and all that stuff. But we're also not afraid to move our facility somewhere else. You know, we we're already looking into, you know, places that are more crypto friendly and have cheaper electricity and stuff like that. I actually trying to set up, you know, trying to educate the people about crypto. You know, I'm trying to educate my advisors. This was her first crypto company that she's helped, you know, start up. So we're trying to use this opportunity to educate them and the state about the potentials of blockchain and Web3 technology. You know, obviously, if you're pulling in $300,000 a month, that's, you know, that's a potential for a lot of tax money for the state, you know, and money speaks. So, yeah, we're just hoping they see the potential in it. If not, we're ready to move somewhere else.
Excellent. Thanks so much. I appreciate you being so open with us, everyone on this call today. It's, I'm really excited to hear about this project, and I'm following you. I'm looking forward to finding a whitelist on the Discord someday. And yeah, good. Best of luck on your launch, and I'm staying tuned.
Yeah, thank you. This is my first anime, so I was definitely a little nervous, but you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Can those KDA miners, can they switch to a different coin to mine, or are they only for KDA? That was my other question. I don't know much about miners, so.
Oh no, that's fine. I love answering questions about miners. So, the most miners are actually built to mine one specific coin and one specific coin only. So yes, these KD miners will only be able to mine KDA. That's why, you know, you have to do a lot of research into what you actually want to mine and where you're putting this money. Because once you buy one of these miners, you know, that's it.
Any reason why you didn't choose, like, I guess just Bitcoin, just a hypothetical here? Why would you not want to, like, why are you going KDA? Because, like, I'll be clear. I own a bag of KDA, so I do like KDA. But it's relatively new and unproven too, right? So it could be a bit of a gamble jumping into with KDA miners if, let's say, for some reason, you know, it just doesn't work out on a network that's just relatively new, right?
Yeah, so we totally want to help, you know, and decentralize Bitcoin's network too, and invest in Bitcoin miners. You know, obviously, you know, they're a lot less risky than KDA miners, but you know, we're all here because we're degens, and we, you know, we're here to take risks and go big or go home, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm very curious about KDA because I've been meaning to research it for a while now. Just where do you guys see KDA going in the future? Like, what makes you so bullish on KDA? And I guess this is more of like an open question.
Basically just what they brought to the table. I guess, you know, they say they have some really fast transaction speeds. They claim that they have the potential to, you know, their technology is powerful enough to power the, you know, the US stock market, which I don't know if that's actually proven or not. A lot of these crypto companies make big claims that, you know, they say they can do that, but they, you know, it hasn't been proven yet and, you know, a live mainnet. The community there is amazing. They're probably one of the most passionate communities I've ever seen besides the lunatics. And yeah, when people have passion about something, you know, they want to build on it. They, like I said, they got the grants going to bring more projects in. And I seen what it did this bull run, and I really believe that they have the potential to do the same thing, if not more, in the next bull run.
Yeah, they claim to solve the trilemma problem. That's their, like, the biggest thing, I think.
What's the trilemma problem?
Speed, scalability, and security. Sorry. Security, speed, or scalability, choose two in the beginning.
And the problem is the more you focus on one or two, the theory is that you lose out more on the third.
Preview, back in my ETH Maxi days, this was like the core tenet of all the debates. when everyone was talking about other blockchains, it's kind of funny. I did some math when we were going on some of those questions there. I'm curious to know what you might be looking at, Stephen, for potential mint prices on this. And I mean, overall, though, just the actual cost. I mean, assuming that the mint is anywhere from $100 US to say something like $500 US or So whatever, just approximate in that range. I think that's about, I mean, at least the minimum cost of capital to get into this for the same amount of potential profit you'd be earning. I think it's about $4,000 if you want to do it solo. And theoretically, you could potentially earn the same amount of revenue and profit, depending on energy costs in your area, at a substantial, you could earn the same amount basically if you just buy the NFT instead of having to worry about everything else and running your own miner and looking at energy usage. So what would the mint price be approximately? And then when potentially would you be, when are you looking to launch the first round of NFTs?
Yeah, so we're looking at a mint price of $200 for the Luna Miner NFT, and our early supporter NFT, we're going to launch that first. That's going to be $100. Yeah, we're trying to keep the mint price, you know, low enough that people want to get in. The average guy can get in. I know $200 is a little expensive to some people, but, you know, like I said before, I did a million spreadsheets on that, on this, and I feel like $200 is a decent price. But our project can raise enough money that we can grow this, you know, substantially over the next couple of years. You know, we could lower the mint price, but that would just equal, you know, less profits, less you know, stuff that we can do for our facility and our holders.
It's literally 200 times more expensive than if you wanted to be to run basic grade Kadena mining equipment, which is pretty amazing then, the potential value you're offering through the service.
Thank you. Yeah, we're trying to pack as much utility into one NFT as possible.
20 times there. If I said 200, I meant 20. Sorry, I have like 500 numbers in front of me.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're in the States or out of the country. I would be looking for somewhere that's going to give me like a kick-ass deal, because some of these states will give a bunch of kickbacks to people who are mining and stuff. And it's like, I'm not sure which states, I think, but off the top of my head, but some of them will actually give you a ton of kickbacks if you're mining and doing blockchain stuff. So I'd be looking for a state that's like Bitcoin friendly, like Texas or Florida, that doesn't have crazy power bills either and will, you know, scratch each other's backs.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Like, well, so we're based in New York, actually, which is, they're not the most friendly crypto state, but, you know, we're still allowed to do what we do here. But yeah, we'll definitely be looking into more friendly states. You know, anybody, states that offering grants, have cheaper electricity. And like I said, we're even looking into other countries where we can set up facilities and expand or potentially move in the future, you know, that will be more beneficial to the longevity of our DAO.
Yeah, because if you could find a state that's friendly like that, that have the kickbacks, you could really lower your overhead on your initial investment and just starting out. And you could honestly almost stack maybe like 3 to 5 more miners, and that can make a really big difference over the long term by not having to have down payments and stuff for these properties and get a 0% SOHO loan, all kinds of things. You can like do little life arbitrages with this little business venture of yours.
Life arbitrage. I love it.
I think Kentucky. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Joseph.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to touch on, this is a separate gear. So if you want to build on that question, go for it.
No, I was just saying on the life arbitrage point, if you wanted to go to Kentucky, I think they're offering large subsidies for miners. Maybe it's Texas I'm thinking of, but I thought I read something about Kentucky also getting into the mining regulation policy world.
Yeah, no one's telling you where to live, but if it was me, I would have to leave New York.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I saw an article the other day that I think it was a city in Texas or something, if I'm not mistaken. Their like city council board actually started their own mining facility. So it's getting pretty big. And, you know, states that aren't moving with crypto and, you know, working to, you know, make it more accessible for everybody, they're only going to be losing out in tons of tax money every year. And I think the states that are, you know, being crypto friendly and providing these incentives for miners to come. They realize the potential. They realize the tax money that they could get back. And, you know, it's be a great way for anybody, states, people. We're hoping, you know, even maybe some projects and protocols want to hold our NFTs and their treasury to, as a way to, you know, get more Luna every month.
So I wanted to switch a little bit of gears on the focus of kind of like just having the trust factor. So personally, I actually kind of stray away from investing in protocols where I don't even know the actual people behind the team, behind the product. Because like, don't get me wrong, I love the concept of fractionally getting into mining and fractionally like owning this. And like being able to partake in this industry, because like let's face it, like the low barrier entry price that you're giving to gain exposure to mining is really attractive to an investor. But I would personally feel a lot more comfortable just knowing the team behind this, knowing the people who are doing this, fully doxing yourselves. I do think that that would make a kind of bring full circle a trust between the people part of the DAO, because it'll make people feel like they're part of an actual team and not part of a kind of a mystery behind the scenes, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally agree. So we've actually partnered with WeFund on Terra. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of them, but they're a launch pad and they've been helping us throughout this whole process. They're an amazing hands-on team. I would recommend anybody who, you know, is starting a project to check out WeFund. They've been very hands-on in helping me, you know, build this the whole way. And I actually had to dox myself to start a project on their platform. And, you know, they won't let you on their launch pad unless you're doxed and they know who you are. And so, but yeah, we'll be releasing the full teams, you know, all their information when we publish our white paper and stuff. So that'll all be taken care of well before our mint. And I think somebody asked before, like when we're planning on launching our mint, and I forgot to answer it. So we're aiming for about 3 months, 2 to 3 months before we launch our mint. We're still, you know, our art is not finished yet. We'll probably be doing the first sneak peeks of our art this weekend, just waiting on our artists to send them over. And yeah, we want to build our community a little more. We don't want to rush our launch, you know. We want to make sure we have, you know, enough people aware of what we're building and try and get, you know, a little bit more people interested in us before we launch.
Yeah, I fully agree. I didn't know that you guys were this early on the roadmap. I actually find it really interesting that the Terra ecosystem is starting to see these like business models crop up. I mean, like 77's Casino, you can own fractional stake in a casino ownership, like an online casino. And now we're kind of starting to see the first kind of like Luna mining, or just mining business ownership via fractional NFTs. That's really exciting.
Yeah, I think there's a wine company too that is trying to fractionalize their business on Terra ecosystem too. I forget the name.
Yeah, Minerva Protocol. Yeah,
I'm super excited for Minerva. Not financial advice, obviously. I'm just an intern for Terabytes. Do not take my information as financial advice or as an endorsement of Minerva. But I personally do think that Minerva has like an insane model. If you go into their white paper, you look at their DAO structure, those guys are creating like a new age kind of wine company that is essentially cutting out an entire middle industry of distributors. And beyond that, they're releasing like a complex tokenomic structure. And that tokenomic structure is going to go in tandem with how they anticipate spreading that kind of business model, that let's cut out the middleman, let's connect the actual person that's producing to the end customer. They're going to apply that same kind of model, that same kind of ideology to their business, to like several different kinds of industries. Like I think you're going to do it to like whiskey, to the gin, to car manufacturers and stuff like that. It's going to actually be kind of crazy to see how that structure kind of rolls out. So I honestly think that that team would have like some synergies with what you guys are doing as far as like DAO structure. They could probably provide some key insights on how to roll out a really interesting kind of new age business model.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're doing kind of what Gary Vee did back in about a decade ago or so with his wine direct order. They're kind of doing like the next echelon of disrupting for the wine industry. It's kind of cool.
I'm very excited about the the craft whiskey distribution and gin as well. Yes, Steven, I think Minerva's been working with Gravidau as well. So definitely reach out to them because I'm sure they'd be willing to help you there. But like literally any vintage asset you could theoretically put on their platform, and that's pretty sweet. I'm looking forward to seeing that full launch.
For Luna Miners. Do you already know what platform you'll be launching your mint on?
No, not 100% yet. We're actually talking to a platform that might be building a new NFT marketplace on Terra. So I don't want to release who it is yet, but I'm not sure if they released that they're building an NFT marketplace yet. So I don't want to blow their spot up, but yeah, we might be launching on them. Obviously, you know, if that doesn't work out, I think we'll be looking at One Planet or Random Earth.
I do want to advertise a little bit on something that the Terabytes team is working on, something that like one of our developers is making just to develop. You do not need to silo yourself to a marketplace anymore. Soon there will be launching a free service, an open source tool that's called Bedrock, where NFT projects will kind of be able, and then also Open Buffet that Pete from the Terabytes bot is like developing. And this is just an open source tool that takes no profit, and it just allows people to launch their NFT projects, to insert their own whitelists, to manage the whole front end. To essentially just give you guys access to the infrastructure to create your project. So don't want to make you guys feel like you have to resign yourselves to an NFT marketplace. In light of the situation with this happening with Luart, I think that the ability and the freedom for a platform like you guys who are trying to start up this like new NFT like platform, you guys don't have to feel like you're having to sign up for some more baggage with a centralized entity that contains the technical means to access the blockchain. So there are some platforms that are kind of start cropping up where it'll allow people to just kind of come on and be like, I'm going to start X NFT project and not have to provide a point of weakness where a centralized entity could abuse power.
Yeah, that's really good to know. That's pretty cool. If you don't mind, did you send me a link?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks. Do you know when that's launching?
So they've already developed the Open Buffet. The Open Buffet is completely complete on Pete's side. So I know that Hank is wrapping up his side of the Bedrock structure. And so I think they're integrating both the Open Buffet and the Bedrock structure. And I think the timeline is a month or something. But that's coming, and it's just going to be open source, open, no profit, no fees taken. Just literally come plug and play, launch your NFT project.
And you'll be able to launch and buy, sell, trade NFTs on there as well?
I believe it will allow for NFT projects to essentially facilitate their own like independent proprietary like marketplace, essentially.
Oh, that's fire. That's fire.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the whole concept of it is to just like, the way that the NFT marketplace has been created is like it's kind of siloed, similar to how like validators are in their like the rewards and how they're kind of distributed in the DeFi network. Except in NFT, the talent and the infrastructure for launching NFT projects have been siloed. So there's like no sort of like validator. Like marketplaces are kind of serving as validators. If you kind of like conceptually think about marketplaces kind of like being providing proof of stake of projects, like if they keep launching projects that aren't rugs, they have like a 99% uptime or 100% uptime. So you can like go stake almost to these marketplaces to like kind of verify that your project's not a rug. And so that kind of siloing of platforms, controlling the means to mint, to controlling the means to have a whitelist, and also providing house suite services like marketplace, like having like interviews, also providing like marketing routines and tactics, helping them flesh out discords and stuff like that. So those kinds of mechanisms are obviously going to still be part of marketplaces that are still going to be like something that those business models can adapt to. But the important part is to not silo the means to the blockchain, at these, select locations. Because like like at the end of the day, when you centralize when you centralize the access to the blockchain, the ability to like make a project, you're providing an attack vector. You're providing a point of failure that could not work out. Kind of similar to like the whole concept of like DAI having backing of with USDT and USDC. Those are centralized attack vectors for the currency itself. Well, if we're going to have centralized access to the blockchain, those are attack vectors to actual like trustlessness on the blockchain. And so if you remove those parts of the equation from like from the NFT scene, you're going to start fostering a more open, more trustful NFT scene where you don't have to worry about someone inserting their cousin's addresses into the whitelist.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was just about to say like that's super amazing. I'm loving that. So like essentially me as an NFT project, I can go over there and trustlessly launch my NFT project. Will there be someone on the other end that's kind of like validating the teams, or is it all just kind of more decentralized?
Yeah, it's literally just like, here's the keys to the kingdom. You can launch your project. But it'll be up to the project themselves to kind of like market themselves to get people to come towards their own listing, their own mints and stuff like that. And since it'll be open source, I mean, if someone wants to go open source and like use the Bedrock infrastructure, someone will be able to like open source that code as well. So if you're an NFT project that's coming out and using Bedrock and you take their code and then you build something on top of Bedrock's code and you don't reveal what you've built, or if you don't publish your GitHub on that structure, then everyone will be able to like realize like, oh, okay, so that's just probably like a rug project that took Bedrock's infrastructure to just flat out rug. And so there might be kind of like this like whole system, a new kind of like marketplace where marketplaces themselves kind of serve as like verifiable checking teams. Maybe they pivot their business models. Maybe they're no longer going to be these kind of places where they're just launching projects and facilitating their mints. Maybe they're going to be like people want to mint from projects that are being funneled through Luart now, not because that they're minting on Luart, but because the Luart's team did investigations on them. And I'm just using Luart as like an example. This could be like one planet. And like all these marketplaces will have to kind of like evolve, because when you kind of decentralize the means to mint, the means to create an NFT project, you essentially just challenge and disrupt the entire market dynamic. Because then everyone has the power to create a project. And that means everyone also has the power to abuse those like structures and also to potentially rug and create bad projects. So it's going to create like a new kind of environment where people get to collaborate with the people that they trust, and people kind of get to verify each other socially.
You're flipping a lot of the processes there, which I think is great. And I guess the marketplaces, the NFT marketplaces right now become more of, I guess the analogy would be like an auditing firm. So like you trust that the listings on there are like verified by these companies. Is that a good way of thinking about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's like kind of a facet of marketplaces. I mean, the reason why Luart was growing so well was because they were having consecutive projects that weren't rugs. They were having projects that actually had communities, that actually had goals, that actually had roadmaps. And so like the marketplaces themselves, not only did they serve as these centralized entities to have access to the blockchain, they also served as means of providing marketing, as means of having verification of teams, as filtering, because at the end of the day, marketplaces make a little bit of money off of like the teams that launch off of their platforms and how they bring on them. So the marketplace is incentivized to validate who's not like cheating, who's not fake, who's real, and all that. So if you kind of introduce a new dynamic where everyone is kind of just like allowed to mint, then marketplaces will like probably start becoming more of the like the trusted, we approve this team, we think that this team is legit. And this would also kind of just remove the marketplace gets to have power over the actual NFT team itself. So if the NFT mints like teams like Mint got botted or it got disrupted or there was like an attack vector on it, then it's completely up to the project itself to kind of ensure that stuff doesn't happen. There is no, it was Luart's fault. There is no, none of that. It's just completely up to themselves to verify that everything goes well. OG Dream. Sorry for taking over the mic, guys. Just wanted to thank you for coming up.
Yes, yes, I was hearing there, and we are going to launch our project that has a great concept of these dreaming lemurs, and we are studying like random Earth or one planet there. So I don't know if you have any advice on that. And obviously, I invite you to read our Medium and how it's our community building nowadays, grow with us. But yes, first of all, I wanted to, on this moment, as I was hearing, to learn a little bit of your opinion between these two marketplaces or another maybe new point of views or something like that for our Dremurs NFT project.
I'm not going to provide like any kind of like official endorsement of any platform. I think that every platform in the Terra ecosystem has shown merits of being a good team. While Luart did get compromised, it would be so much easier for that team to have just completely disappeared off of the face of the earth. But in reality, they've chosen to come back and die by a million paper cuts. Like, why would they be willing to come back and continue this, like, getting completely, absolutely destroyed by people in the community if all they wanted to do was a rug? So, yes, of course, there was a breach of trust. It was a grotesque breach of trust. And there was an attack that happened on the marketplace. But they're back. They're still here. They're still going. They're trying to right their wrongs. And we're allowed to keep demanding high levels of like prove yourselves to that team. And so I think that you have to keep in mind when you pursue projects on all these teams and all these platforms is that they are businesses at the end of the day. And these businesses have mediums that they profit, mediums of access to tools and mediums of access of knowledge that a typical NFT project doesn't have. And so I think that they're, when you approach these teams, you have to evaluate how much do they prioritize the decentralization of their of your project, how willing are they to mold to your project's needs, and how is their community from that marketplace itself. I do know that there are some projects that are coming up that are going to try to decentralize the ability for projects to launch independently and for projects to not have to rely on whitelisting via marketplaces and to rely on their infrastructure. So definitely be on the lookout for those means. But at the end of the day, if you're a small project and you're trying to grow, then the easiest way to grow and the easiest way to gain traction is by partnering with marketplaces who already have people going there to mint, because that's what they're giving your project as well. They're not only giving you access to be able to mint, they're giving you access to people who are wanting to invest in your project, to invest in your art. I guess that's my advice. Have I launched an NFT project? No. So just trust that I'm an intern, and this is just from pure observation of how the NFT scene is developing in Terra.
Amazing, yes, that's amazing. Thank you. Yes, we are great developers. We analyze to build our own marketplace also, but only exclusive for Dremurs. But I think that if you launch on a big one, like the ones we were mentioning, you open the market to many other people that may don't know you. So I think that there we get to the same point. But yes, we will continue thinking about this. The launch of our project will be mid of June for some of that day. So we have a little bit of time. And yes, thank you. Thank you for the advice. Yes, any advice is welcome too. And if we can work together with some other projects, we are open also. Thank you.
Thank you for coming up, Dreamer, and asking a question. I want to shift towards Luna Miner. I think Brevi had to hop off. So definitely want to just make sure there's any final questions about what Steven is doing with the Luna Miner's NFT project. So if anyone has any final questions, please speak up. Steven, if you have any closing thoughts or things that you want to bring in, please go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I just want to thank you guys for having me on the show today. It was an awesome experience. I hope to do more of these in the future. Basically, I just want to say that we're a community-based project. You know, we're our biggest goal is making sure, you know, our holders are happy and, you know, happy with their investments and what this DAO is doing. We're trying to keep most of our infrastructure, like all of our team pretty much so far, we found in the Luna miners community, in the Luna community. So we're trying to keep as much money inside the community as possible. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, thank you so much for allowing us to be your first ever AMA and introducing the project a bit to the Terra community. I think there's a lot of excitement around here, and I look forward to seeing what developments come out. Joseph or Syek, any final wrapping up thoughts?
No, for me.
Yeah, I'm good from my end as well. I just want to thank everyone for joining us for the first Terabytes and R&B Crypto Tea Time. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it a lot, everyone. And make sure to check out Mighty Whale Podcast, Terra TV, R&B Crypto, Lunatic Station, everyone who's been involved with this, a lot of fun. Shout out to everyone who's tuned in as well and helped share and spread the word. So. Steven, thank you again for going in the hot seat today, taking your time, answering all these questions. A really interesting conversation, and we'll have to do it again in the near future. So with that, everyone, I'm signing off, but thank you all who tuned in once again, and we'll speak to you on next week's Tea Time.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the R&B Crypto Tea Time featuring Luna Miners, recorded on Saturday, May 7th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coupe with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best smiles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain. Up with the curse, it's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the wait was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash the brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line.